You're listening to RTI Audio, powered by Rocky Top Insider. This is the RTI Press Pass with Trey Wallace.
RTI Audio on this Wednesday. This is Press Pass. I am Trey Wallace alongside RTI contributors, beat writers, Rick Butler, Ryan Shumpert. Happy to have them guys with us today as we break down the last 2 days of Tennessee football. They had media day yesterday, which was on Tuesday. They had a full practice to start fall camp on Wednesday, which is today. And we're here to kind of break it all down. Happy to be joined by Rick Butler and Ryan Shumpert again. Rick, you know, let's go back to yesterday. And, you know, with media days getting started, and you look at the quarterbacks that were out there, defensive players that were out there, and the opportunity to be able to speak with all four quarterbacks and then speak with a good amount of defensive players. What were a couple takeaways, in your opinion, from what you heard yesterday, even if it came from the players or Golish, Banks, or Heupel?
So, Trey, really the first kind of thing that stands out to me in my mind is really just how there was a sense of calmness kind of about the around, I guess, the football program. But also at the same time, it was a sense of kind of organized calmness, a calmness that also has a little bit of excitement behind it, too. And I just I guess the idea of calmness spoke out to me. Just considering when we were talking to those players, I mean, let's look at the first group we talked to, four quarterbacks. You know, two of those players had not even gone through that at Tennessee. The other two, none of them had gone through that last year with all the different kind of restrictions. So just for a lot of these players, it was either their first time being back in front of the media in a long time or their first time being in front of the media at Tennessee ever. So to me, that was kind of just a big standout of how comfortable they looked, how comfortable they said they felt. And that was a big takeaway from what the coaches said as well. Everybody kind of getting on the same page, everybody getting acclimated together, especially welcoming in these transfer players. That just really stood out to me. I never really felt like there was ever a point of kind of deer in the headlights, if you will, whether it was the players talking to the media, the coaches talking to the media, everybody just getting back on campus around the same time. Again, no real deer in the headlights look. Everybody just seemed calm, focused, and like they had a job to do starting tomorrow, which is in turn today.
Ryan, what did you think about how yesterday kind of played out? I mean, it was kind of interesting to have four quarterbacks out there. I thought Matthew Butler, you know, had some of the good quotes that came out of there yesterday. You know, just overall media day standpoint, you know, were you encouraged by the way that they were talking? And I look, I know that's hard to buy into, but what were some of the things that you looked at and thought, okay, this is pretty interesting?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'd say encouraged. I do think there was a quiet confidence to the team. And Joe Milton, I guess, was the theme of the day that stood out to me. And Joe Milton himself is a guy that I think had a quiet, almost arrogance to him. I mean, that was a guy that he was very confident. He was very excited to be here. I think he said it was the most excited he's been to practice since his first college practice at Michigan. And then when you go and look what Josh Heupel and particularly Alex Golish said about Milton, I just got the vibe that that's the guy who they want to be their starting quarterback. Now, Golish was quick to point out what happens when adversity hits for him, you know, and who knows? I mean, he clearly has all the talent in the world, or a lot of it, but things didn't go well for him in Michigan. He has question marks still, boxes you got to check off. So who knows if he'll do that in fall practice. But I think going in, that was my biggest takeaway yesterday, is it felt like Tennessee wants or thinks Joe Milton's going to be its guy at quarterback.
Were you taken aback by any of the players that they put out there? I think – you know, okay, here's a question I get from a lot of people, Ryan. Is it interesting that they had Jabari Small out there talking? and not any other running backs? Or was it because, you know, Jabari Small kind of been through the ringer here at Tennessee in the sense of being now the veteran almost of the group? Do you take away anything from him being out there?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was a little bit interesting. I mean, everything you just said is right. I mean, he has 121 rushing yards at Tennessee, but he's the veteran in that group. And I think he talked to the media once or twice last year. Now he talked some in the spring. And, you know, none of these other guys, Tyon Evans, JUCO guy, Jalen Wright, freshman, I guess D. Beckwith we've talked to once or twice. But when that was, I don't even know if he knew he was playing running back yet. So in that sense, it's not surprising. But he was a guy that Alex Golas talked glowingly about. I mean, he was asked about the running backs, and it was kind of, all right, check, we got one. We got Jabari Small. We know what he can do. And they're looking for more. They're looking – he said he wants to have three or four ready to play each Saturday. So I think the early returns on Jabari Small, which this isn't exactly unknown because we knew he did well in the spring too. The staff's really high on him, and he was a guy that I thought was impressive last year when he played. I honestly thought last year he was better than Ty Chandler when he got opportunities.
Rick, you know, when Matthew Butler was talking about Rodney Garner, and that's not surprising because we hear so – Rodney Garner is a legend in this league, and he's a really good defensive line coach, and he's put players through, you know, to the NFL. But the way that Matthew Butler was talking, how, look, we're going to run through your faces now. You know, that was a direct quote from Matthew Butler. Do you think this squad – has taken on the mentality of Rodney Garner where, you know, no bull crap taken anymore. We're just going to go out here and we're going to try to pound you. We might not have the depth, but it just feels like they've taken on the Rodney Garner persona, Rick.
Yeah, Trey, I think I would totally agree with you that that's kind of their mindset, right? That's kind of a little bit of their motivation going into this year even. Look, Matthew Butler talked about this yesterday. He's played for six coaches in the course of his career. So I think that really kind of seeing that this one in particular and this staff in particular is speaking to him in the way that they are, I think that should be really motivating and really encouraging for Tennessee's path this season. I think when you look at, you know, his relationship with Rodney Garner or just – what his position is going to look like, man, I think a lot of these guys are excited just because there's a little bit of a fresh start in the air, right? Whether you're talking about that assistant coach in particular, whether you're talking about just the overall mindset of the team or kind of the direction that they're taking at practice or really just everything that is incorporated underneath the Josh Heupel umbrella, I think this is a big fresh start for a lot of these players and a lot of these players who maybe feel like they've been surrounded in a lot of controversy or turmoil for a lot of their careers, right? So I think this is maybe a great opportunity for guys like Matthew Butler who have truly now found a coach that they connect with and they will be able to use that motivation on the field. And I think for some of these players, him included, this could wind up turning them into a totally different player for the good.
Okay, so I want to get both your opinion on this. Ryan, I'll start with you. When you listen to Banks, coach, you know, Tim Banks yesterday, defensive coordinator, and you listen to Alex Golas and, you know, mainly Banks, you know, when he was talking, it's going to be tough for him because, you know, you're coming into the SEC. You are that defensive coordinator. You're going to be calling these plays along, you know, you're going to get help from your assistants, and that's completely – you know, that's what's supposed to happen. But when you look at what the defense has right now, and when he said, look, we're probably going to run these multiple formation type deals, what do you think the defense has? And we've only got to see one practice, so we can't take a lot away from that. We won't. But when you look at this right now, what's going to be the biggest problem you think for Tim Banks? Is it going to be line? Is it going to be linebacker? Is it going to be defensive line? Where do you think is going to be the problem for Banks?
I think it's going to be linebackers. And just in general, I think your pass defense, I think, is a massive question. Because the way I look at it, that's something that did stand out to me today, you know, a positive is Greg Emerson and Darrell Middleton transferring, you know, it kind of felt like that you're going to look around and that D-line room is going to look thin. And I didn't think it did in the slightest. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there in that room that I'm thinking, you know, they should be able to contribute, you know, too deep of guys that should be able to play at SEC level. Now, how effective can that top end be? I think it's a big question mark. But a linebacker, you're still really, really thin. And I think what you have there is obviously Jeremy Banks had his struggles in pass covers last year. Juwan Mitchell, impressive looking player. I have questions at least as how he's going to be able to play the pass. So with that, you have no really proven pass rushers back on this roster. Tyler Barron's maybe the most important player on this team for Tennessee's success this year because of that aspect, because he's a guy that looks like he could do it. And the back end is, I think, a little more stable. You have more guys that have played games there, but I don't think safety, for, you know, putting it bluntly, was a disaster last year. So you have three guys that played a lot of snaps there last year, but how much better can they play this year? Corner, I do think they are solid at, but they're also really, really thin. So I think that pass defense is probably going to be Tim Banks's biggest question. But if you're going to look specifically at a position group, I think linebackers were the most thin.
You know, I want to follow up on Tim Banks and kind of his press conference yesterday as well for a second. Guys, I don't know about you, but to me, Tim Banks is the kind of guy that I would love to go sit down with at a restaurant, have a beer, and just talk about all the different things that he's done with his career and things like that. Now, I say that because I don't know him at all. I don't know his personality. I don't really know the way he talks. I don't know, you know, just kind of, again, the way that I guess his public speaking is done. And I say that because yesterday at the press conference, I noticed that there were a lot of, I hope, and, you know, well, kind of I hopes and what ifs, if you will, right? Is this going to be happening this season? Well, I hope it's going to be happening this season. That's the way that it's structured. Is this going to be happening? Well, it should be. And so I didn't really know if that was kind of just a little bit of his personality and being a joking and a lighthearted personality and kind of just throwing in and having a little bit of fun with the media there. But I also felt like there were a couple of questions that maybe just did not have any kind of confident answer. Not an answer that they wanted to save behind the curtain, you know, and not fully reveal yet, but just kind of a couple places that I felt like, you know, I'm not exactly sure if they do know, you know, what that position is going to look like or what that rotation is going to look like or even what that depth is going to look like come halfway through the season. So I just kind of noticed that. Again, not that it was a big takeaway or anything. I'd like to know a little bit more about his personality, but I just felt like there were a couple of I hopes in his talking that made me just feel like maybe there were a couple of places on the defensive side of the ball that just aren't fully competent yet, that just aren't fully worked out yet.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. There's not a lot of guys on this staff that we know in a sense of just in general from the Southeastern Conference. I mean, look, we all know Rodney Garner. We know Coach Martinez. You know, I would say that we kind of know Cody Burns. We know of Cody Burns. That's the big thing. You know, we saw what he did down at Auburn, you know, and he's come. So there's not a lot of on-field coaches that you can get a good read on right now, like Brian Jean Mary. You know, we're still getting used to this staff and you know, they're also not going to say something that they don't want out there. But I think a good amount of the guys is they're just trying to figure this thing out day by day. You know, they went 19 periods today, which was interesting, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. But when you break it down, you know, they're learning just as much as the players are learning and just as much as we're learning about the players and the coaches. So I think you have to take all of that in to instance for circumstance when it comes to how things play out, you know, over the next 25 days or whatnot, you know, 30 days as we get closer to the season. I want to transition into practice today, and then we'll get into a little bit on the back end on Heupel's press conference. So what I saw today is, first of all, you know, for the first time in a long time, you know, we had our regular, the media had their regular little viewing period that we could, you know, videotape, take pictures and whatnot, which lasted about three periods. And Ryan Shumpert and I were out there today. Rick Butler and I will be out there tomorrow. But it was interesting, Ryan, the fact that they said, okay, now turn your cameras off, you know, after period two. Right, I think it was. And then we got to sit there and watch pretty much an hour's worth of practice. What was your takeaway just from that in general?
I mean, I think it's just a continued theme we've seen since the spring that they're going to be a little more open with media. And a lot of that just is because there isn't quite the interest there that there is in most years. And there's certainly some apathy from this fan base. And it's been, you know, it's been really nice. And I think Josh Heupel, some of that just goes into Josh Heupel, I think, a little bit more of a normal guy than the past few Tennessee coaches. And I mean that the way that I don't think he has maybe the paranoia of a Jeremy Pruitt. And Jeremy Pruitt's not alone in that. There's a lot of college football coaches that are paranoid about this stuff. And, you know, Butch Jones was always very uptight and very worried, I think, about how things appear, the optics, if you want to say. And I think Josh Heupel's not really worried about that. So, and I think that he knows the program kind of needs that traction, and he thinks that's a way to potentially build it. So that's nice. You know, hopefully COVID won't get in the way of that being a thing through all of fall practice, because when you're sitting out there, and we got to watch, what, 10 minutes of 11 on 11, obviously you're not in full pads today, so it's not quite normal, but it was even more than just watching drills, which was nice, more than just watching them stretch and, you know, run some routes on air. So that was really nice. And like I said, hopefully COVID doesn't take that away from us the rest of fall practice.
We're gonna find out. We're gonna find out on that part. I give it a week, and you know, maybe things switch around. But let's get into practice for a minute, Ryan.
We'll be right back. And now back to the show.
Today on the offensive side of the football, you know, I watched a good amount of the quarterbacks, running back situation. I thought that Harrison Bailey had the best ball. You know, just long ball today, but it's not saying much. It's day one. I thought Joe Milton, he is as advertised. He has got one hell of an arm. Sometimes a little bit too fast for his receiver.
Yep.
And also, you know, I thought Hendon Hooker was the most efficient quarterback today when it came to completions and hitting guys in stride. You know, what were your small takeaways from the quarterbacks, in a sense, just on day one?
Yeah, so I really spent most of my time on the defensive side and watched the quarterbacks there at the end, and some one-on-ones between receivers and corners, and then they played a little bit of 11-on-11. And I thought Hendon Hooker is a guy that, you know, if you take out the element of Josh Heupel's offense that is about throwing the ball down the field, which is, you know, one of the most important parts of it, I think it's hard not to imagine Hendon Hooker having as good as a chance as anybody to be the starter, because you're right, he's efficient. They get out there in 11-on-11. He's much better at extending plays with his legs than – maybe not much better than Milton, because Milton, that was something that impressed me by Milton today too. He was able certainly to run a little bit and made a few plays in the 11-on-11 portion doing that. So I guess those were two of my takeaways. And just overall, it's early, but Joe Milton was, as you said, as advertised. That arm strength, very strong, very tight spiral, looks very good out there. But I really think it's a three-way battle between Harrison Bailey, Milton, and Hooker. How much of Hooker's limitations keep him from being, you know, truly considered a starting candidate, I don't know. But I certainly think he's a guy that is very capable.
No, and I agree with that assessment. I think it's going to be interesting how they start splitting these reps up going into next week. Will be the big thing, and we'll have more on quarterbacks. It's hard to take away from day one of them getting out there, but I thought, you know, all three, you know, and Maurer ran a little bit, but we didn't get to see a lot of him from today, in a sense of, not that he wasn't out there, but just that he was running third or fourth, you know, most of the time. So when you look at, let's stay on offense for a minute. I just some notes. I thought Javonte Payton looked well today. He's going to be a speedster for Tennessee. I thought Jalin Hyatt, you know, you're going to be able to expect good things from Hyatt and Valus Jones Jr. To me, it was a good sight to see Walker Merrill out there, even though he had a long knee brace on, coming off off-season surgery. Well, technically, it was kind of in the spring, late spring. But I thought, he looked good hitting his cuts today. The wide receiver room, they do have a new addition right now. Kamen Marley is going to play the wide receiver spot for a minute. As Josh Heupel and them, he talked about post press conference that, they're just trying to figure out a spot. They think that might be a good place for him to start. So wide receivers, I think, I look at that and I think they have the depth that they're going to be able to need. I think Cedric Tillman's going to be used really well in the red zone type areas. He can also be a stretch downfield to go up and grab those balls. And there's more. There's guys that'll work their way up the ladder. Anderson Kobe is a guy to me that could do some damage for Tennessee. If they can get him the ball, if they can get him lined up in the slot at times, be able to just try to get him the ball at any measure. Just kind of wrapping up the offense real quick from what I saw, then we'll get to Ryan and then Rick. I thought the offensive line was okay. I think that when you look at the offensive line, and I don't take away too much with it. I mean, like on the first group today, they had Dane Davis, Jerome Carvin, Cooper Mays, Spraggins, and Cade Mays. That was the first group. And then, the second group featured Darnell, Chris Aparignano. Yeah, I can always screw that up. Whatever. Parker Ball and Kayron Calvert. But it was good to see Jeremiah Crawford, the JUCO transfer. He was getting some work at left tackle. I thought that was good and needed for what they were trying to do. So the offensive line's got work to do. They're still trying to figure that one out. Still trying to figure some spots out. And we'll see, how it plays out over the next, 2 weeks or so until you can start landing down some starting positions. Let's switch over to defense, Ryan. What are a couple of things that stood out to you? I know you talked about the practice report that Dejon Terry, looks the part, especially with his build. To me, if you can line up alongside guys like Aubrey Solomon or, you can get that big time. Tennessee's always missed that monster on the defensive line. So if you can find that, you can find some gap fillers, I think Tennessee will be just fine. What did you take away from the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And I think they're going to be, or have the potential at least to be really solid on the inside of the defensive line. Dejon Terry was impressive. I mean, he's a behemoth, and he moved his feet really, really well. I mean, I was really impressed by him. Obviously, Aubrey Solomon, he's proven. Can he have a little bit more bounce back here, play more like he did in 2019 is a big question. But he's a guy on the inside that you feel like is solid. And then Elijah Simmons is a guy that I think continues to look better. So I mentioned that earlier, but the defensive line is a whole lot of bodies there that I feel like are solid. Latrell Bumpus, another guy, looks good coming back from injury. Byron Young made a couple plays in the 11-on-11 portion from the outside. And Tyler Barron also is a guy that looks really good. One of the other big takeaways from the defense side, Morvin Joseph, obviously we saw him starting to play inside linebacker in the spring. He's slimmed down even more.
We'll be right back. And now back to the show.
When you look at Morvin Joseph, I agree. He's kind of slimmed down a little bit. Ryan, I think Aaron Willis is a guy that's going to have to come out, do something here in the fall, and make himself. I think he's going to be noticeable. And I think he's going to play, Ryan. And also you did see Aaron Beasley out there today. To be honest with you, I think the reason why Garland and Solomon Page were running with the ones today is because they were the guys out there in spring ball. And I think that when you look at this, and Rick, you can come in on this and talk about it, when we look at the situation, when it comes to the linebacker group, when it comes to how these guys are going to be able, to settle in, how big is it in your mind, Rick, for the inside linebacker group to find that depth that they need especially since a guy like Roman Harrison has moved back to the outside linebacker spot.
No, I think that depth is going to be extremely important. I mean, you just know that that's a position that is so needed no matter what facet of the defensive game you're talking about. If you're talking about the run game, they need to be able to come up and stop the ball at the line of scrimmage along with these defensive linemen, or they might need to drop back into a little bit more pass coverage for some of those throwing routes. So I think that just by talking about the linebacker position, you're talking about some of the most important of the 22 guys on the field at any point. Now, that being said, I think inside linebacker specifically is another extremely important kind of avenue to that. And so I think with Tennessee's, with the route that Tennessee is going right now, absolutely, that depth is going to be important. I remember in the 2020 season, Tennessee's defense spent a lot more time on the field than the offense. Now, a lot of that reason was because Tennessee's offense just couldn't hold on to the ball for very long. But I wonder if that's not going to change too much this year, because we do believe that Tennessee is going to have a lot more of a productive, up-tempo, faster offense. I think that more offense is good, but who knows? They could be putting themselves in scoring position a little bit earlier or a little bit more quickly than some other traditional offenses. So we're talking about a defense for a second straight year that is going to spend a lot of time on the field, and depth at any position is going to be important for that linebacker especially. But getting some of these additions like that Juwan Mitchell, who was a guy who played so consistently well for Texas last year, you know that is one of those guys that has a very well-running engine. You know that that's one of those guys that you can rely on in the middle of the field when you are looking at depth questions, or at least kind of other players that you might need to slot there. So I think when we're talking about depth, no matter what position on the field, that is always going to be important. But specifically with the linebackers, yeah, man, that's going to be a position that Tennessee is going to have to rely on, knowing that they have the ability to cover every single part of the defensive game.
Hey, Ryan, I wanted to ask you this real quick on the secondary spot. You had Warren Burrell and Alante Taylor at corner with Trayvon and Jalen McCullough at the safety spot. But then they threw Theo Jackson at the nickel, and then they also had Denico Slaughter, you know, backing him up. Do you think Denico Slaughter is a player that can get in, you know, this year? He started the first two games last year, you know, and then kind of went away. Or is this a spot for Theo Jackson just to lose?
No, I absolutely think it's a competition. I think Denico Slaughter has a great chance to at least earn some playing time, if not start at that spot. I mean, Theo Jackson's obviously played more football than Slaughter, but unless I'm missing anything, I don't think he played any nickel when Pruitt was there, or the star spot, as they called it then. So I think Slaughter's going to have a great chance. He's a guy that I thought looked pretty good today and made some nice plays.
Yeah, and you had Christian Charles working a little bit at corner and at safety today. Interested to see how he fits into this thing. His athletic ability is through the roof, so you know they want to push him out there and keep him. You know, if they can, use his athletic ability on the field at any spot. Roman Harrison, again, worked with the outside linebacker group. He did get in some work with Tyler Barron, Bryson Easton, and Byron Young, kind of along that defensive line on the outside. So that's something to keep an eye on, Ryan. You know, your thoughts of that, of those three right now, Ryan, with Barron, Easton, and Byron Young coming off the edge?
Yeah, no. Byron Young, I think Barron, I said earlier, I think maybe the most important player on the team, and I probably have the most confidence in him of any of those three, especially when it comes to being a complete player playing the run. But Byron Young, I mean, he's an intriguing guy. He looked good when we got to see him in the spring, was very solid, and I think he's a guy, as from a pass rushing standpoint, I think has the highest potential of those three. Bryson Easton, to me, it's a little more, I need to see it to believe it, not to say that he can't do it, but he's a guy that it's still relatively new. I mean, he played some on the D-line last year, or at least got reps there. I don't think he played much in the game, but he's a guy that came in as an inside linebacker, so his body's changed. I think there's more question marks there for him making the transition than there is for Barron, who's going more full-time to a hand-in-the-ground role instead of playing off the edge like last year, standing up, and then Byron Young is coming from junior college.
Rick, let's talk about the post-practice press conference. You were zoomed in and got to follow along with me. Any takeaways post-practice? And I know, you know, Josh talked about Javonte Payton, and they did talk about, you know, Marley playing that wide receiver spot. But, you know, what were your takeaways? Overall, good day, excited, know it's day one, got to watch some film. What'd you get from it?
Yeah, I would kind of agree. And a lot of it kind of was that sense of, hey, man, it's day one. You know, we're not going to have all the answers today, nor are we going to have any, you know, big, I would say maybe observations or more changes in our observations after one day of practice. For instance, of course, you know, somebody had asked Coach Heupel about the quarterbacks, right? Something that he had talked about the previous day and something that he will talk about tomorrow as well. And all he had to say, pretty much, he started out his answer with, hey, you know, we saw him make some throws and we saw him miss some throws. It's day one. And to me, that was a big kind of indication of kind of how they're assessing their talent as the time goes on. You know, and even yesterday, offensive coordinator Alex Golish said, yeah, man, there's a huge sense of urgency right now trying to find this quarterback. So I think from our perspective, it's very interesting knowing that to them, there is a big sense of urgency, but also watching them, seeing how they unfold and seeing that they're still going to put the time and the, I think, prioritized effort into making the best decision possible, whichever quarterback is going to earn that job. Aside from the quarterbacks, though, I felt like kind of what I alluded to with my answer at the beginning of our podcast was there was just a little bit of a sense of calmness, a little bit of a sense of transition. Guys still feeling it out, guys getting used to their first press, or excuse me, to their first practice. Coach Heupel did mention that, hey, the transfer players are getting acclimated very, very well. You know, we haven't had any troubles with them, whether that's been on or off the field. Guys are buying into the program. Guys are buying into their teammates. To me, I think that's what you got a good sense of idea from in the press conference, from practice today, and just kind of in a full sense for day one for Tennessee's fall training camp.
No, and that's where we're at. I mean, look, it's day one. Tomorrow we'll get quarterback coach Joey Hazel tomorrow. We'll get some offensive players. They will practice again tomorrow morning. And it's day one. It's gonna take a minute, you know.
And again, like, you know, to what you're saying, to what Coach Heupel was saying, we know that the media is going to ask about the quarterbacks every single day that they can. And we know that their mindset on it from the conversations yesterday is that, hey, whoever our quarterback is going to be is going to have to earn that spot. We're not going to lock in on a quarterback before the season and never change our minds about it. But at the same time, we are going to go through this in a processed way. We are going to make a good and educated decision on it. And I think that going through these practices here coming up at the end of the week and throughout the month, we are going to see just how their evaluation process gets done.
Ryan, what are you learning to gain the rest of the week, you know, knowledge wise, when it comes to this? And are we really just, you know, got to go through the motions? Because my biggest thing about the quarterback thing, and knowing that he's going to get asked about it, it's like, okay, if you're going to let us out there for an hour, hour and 15 minutes, you're going to get that quarterback question every day because we can see what's going on during a lot of the time. So it's more of an expected thing, Ryan, I can tell now, you know, with this staff, more so than, you know, okay, why are you bothering me every day about quarterbacks? They're kind of setting themselves up for those questions to come.
No, you're right on that. And I think in some ways, just naturally, Josh Heupel is going to be far more willing in wanting to talk about the quarterback position than, say, Jeremy Pruitt would be, just because that's Josh Heupel's thing is the quarterback, and he's recruiting all the time. And you talk, you know, about what you do well, explain that stuff, and I think there's maybe a little bit more confidence now in that quarterback room than there was in the spring. So I think that might change the dynamic a little bit too. But rest of the week, I don't think there's anything over the top that I'm waiting to see. Not going to be in full pads until next week. Be good to continue, you know, following along, seeing who's out there. Can they stay healthy the rest of this week? Do they start having any hiccups or anything? Because I think that's something that's been, if not surprising, at least a positive. Just basically everyone was out there today. Kamal Haddon was doing a little bit of work on the side, but just about everybody was at full speed. So they're healthy going into the fall.
The one big thing, guys, that Tennessee cannot afford is one. You know, I was talking with somebody today that works at Tennessee at practice, and Tennessee cannot afford an injury in any position. And I'm just talking about one. I'm not talking about like two or three. I'm talking about one injury. They can't afford it. They just, from a depth perspective, maybe at the wide receiver, and I'm not, you know, knock on wood, whatever, but they just can't afford it. So we'll see how the rest of the week plays out. I appreciate Rick and Ryan joining us today. Rick Butler and I will have coverage from fall practice tomorrow, practice number two. That'll be on Thursday. Then we'll meet with Joey Hazel afterwards, talk with him, talk to some offensive players tomorrow as well after practice. Look forward to doing that. We'll have continued coverage of fall camp. We'll get everything and anything posted up, and make sure to check us out later this evening and into the rest of the week as we keep you covered. It's Fall Camp 2021. This has been Press Pass. Rick, Ryan, I appreciate you boys. We'll do this again tomorrow. And, yeah, it's RTI Audio, man. We're just getting started. It's Fall Camp, boys.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it.
Rick, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. We'll join you again tomorrow. I'm Trey Wallace. Peace.